Okay, so we are going to talk about the slaughter of Shechem today, and we're going to talk about this Parshas Vayishlach, slaughter of Shechem, and we're going to talk about whether it was justified, not justified. You read Perek Lamed Daled. You read about how Dina, she goes out to see the daughters of the land. And in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Beis, Vayarosa Shechem ben Hamor Chavin, and see Haaretz, Vayikach Osa, Vayishkav Osa, Vayaneha. We have how Shechem, how he basically rapes her. And then after he rapes her in Pasuk Gimel, Vatidbak Nafsho, Bedina, Bas Yaakov, Vayavas Hanara, Vidibar Alev Nara. So after he rapes her, he wants to marry her. And Shechem says to his father in Pasuk Daled, Kachli Esayalda Hazos Lisha, I want to marry her. But Yaakov Shama ki timeas dina bito vanov hayu es mikneh basadev echrish Yaakov Aboam. Yaakov heard that he was metame. He made her impure by raping her. And basically, the Yaakov was silent first, pasuk zayin, that bnei Yaakov bo min asadeh kishamam. They came from the field when they heard what happened. Veisatzu anashim veicher lahem ma'od ki nevala asa b'Yisrael. Nishkaves bas Yaakov v'chein lo yaseh, that he, Shechem, had committed a nevala, an outrage. This is not done. And so then we know the story. Chamor says, my son really wants to marry into your family. We want our kids to marry into you and your families, and we can form a nice union. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov eshchem v'eschamor aviv b'mirma, Vayedabu asher timei es Vayedaberu asher timei es dina achosam. So now the children of Yaakov engage in trickery, and what do they say? They say, we can't give our sister to someone who is uncircumcised, so we can only do this if you circumcise yourself. And that's a discussion from Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Zayin. And then, so they agree, all the townspeople agree. And then on the third day, after they've all been circumcised and they're in pain, Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi Biyosem Koavim, Vayichu Shnei Bnei Yaakov, Shimon Velevi Achei Dinas Ish Charbo Vival Ir Betav Yargu Kol Zachar. So the two children of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, so they, each one takes a sword, and they kill all the men, and they kill Chamor, they kill Shechem, they take Dinah from the house of Shechem, they leave, okay? And they also despoil the town. They take the spoils from the city in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayavozu Ha'ir, that's in Pasuk Chav Ches as well, Pasuk Chav Tes, right? They take the wealth, they take the spoils. Now, so when you read this story about how the brothers, how Shimon and Levi take advantage of the post-circumcision infirmity of everyone in the city to kill Shechem and all the men of the town, and so I think we asked two basic questions. You know, the first basic question is, what justification was there to kill Shechem and to kill all of the inhabitants, right? It's part A and part B. Seems that for Shechem, perhaps there is more justification. For the inhabitants, perhaps there's less justification. And there's also something interesting also, like who has the last word, right? So Yaakov's upset, and in Pasuk Lamed, for Yom Yaakov Shimon Valevi, Achar Tem Osi La Vishen Biyoshe Ores, Bekanani Vaprizi, Vani Mesei Mispar, Venasvu Alai Vikuni Vishmatini Vaisi, that you have, says here, you've made me odious about the inhabitants of the land. The Canaanim and the Prizim, they're going to unite against me. They're going to attack me. And Shimon and the Shimon Levi, the last word, they said, should our sister be treated like a zona, like a harlot? So it seems the brothers have the last word. Of course, when Yaakov blesses his children in Perek Memtes, so he refers to Shimon and Levi as Klei Chamas Mechei Rosehem. He refers to them as violent people. Right? Let me just go to that quickly, if I can get to it quickly. Let's see. Hold on. So if you look in Perek Mem Tes, right, when he talks about Shimon and Levi, B'sodem al tavo nafshi b'klam al teichat kvodi, you know, I don't want to be included in their council. I don't want my being to be counted in their assembly. Kiva apam horgu ish v'irtzonam ikushor, because they killed people. Aror apam, cursed be their anger. Ki az, that it was strong. There was some kikashasa, right? So so Yaakov may now be having the last word on his deathbed, but certainly, initially at the outset, the brother Shimon and Levi had the last word, but Yaakov has the last word. So, I think the issues that we have to discuss is, number one is the severity of the crime of Shechem and the inhabitants, right? Did the severity of the crime justify the punishment or justify what happened to them, the consequence? And maybe another question, which is the validity of collective punishment and acts of deterrence. In other words, maybe we could argue that maybe individually they didn't deserve to die, but maybe for purposes of deterrence, maybe some other practical reasons, not because of the sin, but for some other purpose, so they had to die. Not as a consequence for their behavior, but for some other practical reason. Or maybe it was unjustified. The trouble with saying that it's unjustified is we're talking about, like I would say on the surface, right? On the surface, it seems somewhat unjustified with the inhabitants of the city. Although it's not clear from Yaakov, but we're dealing with the children of Yaakov, who seem to be pretty holy people. And even Yaakov, what's his concern? His concern in Pasuk Lamed, not so clear that he seemed to say that it's unjustified, rather that it's going to put the family in a precarious situation. I think that's some of the evidence that we have to sort of deal with. Our intuition is probably that how can you kill the whole city for what they did, when in fact not so clear that Yaakov is concerned with the morality. Is he just concerned with the practical consequences? Curious what you're. I mean, I'm sure this is not a new question. So I'm gonna try to share with you at least three different approaches.
It's also the morality, and then afterwards that they plundered the city and took it. I mean, they went way above.
Right. Yeah, we also have to deal. Right. In other words, they didn't sit like it's not. If it's just a holy war, then why take the spoils? So what is their taking of the spoils? How does that impact the morality of their behavior? So we'll see some of Farshim deal with that as well. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of discussion on this. So I'm going to try to sort of just provide like an overview of three basic approaches. You know, where you see the spectrum of the Mefarshim in analyzing their behavior. Okay, so if you start off, so you do have a school of thought that says that they committed a sin. Now, by the way, what would the sin of Shechem be, by the way? What are the two possibilities what the sin of Shechem could be?
You mean the sin of Shechem?
In other words, if you say the brothers killed Shechem because he committed a crime, what would the crime be?
They violated his sister.
Okay, so there was the rape. Okay,
right.
Is that the only possibility? Is there another possibility? It might be close to the same, but
is. Well, they also said, you know, we're going to take Shechem's people said we're going to take everything from Yaakov. You know, hey, well, let's get together. They didn't say, you know, we're just going to take them over. You know, we're just going to.
So you're saying what? So what?
Once we're going to,
okay,
you know, it seems to be like a way to. Once we get with Dina, we're going to just take them over.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that maybe there was a. Okay, before, so we'll get to the inhabitants of the city in a bit. I think when it comes to the sin of Shechem, so one could be. The question is: rape a capital crime? Okay,
it could. Yes.
So maybe it is, okay.
Yes.
Is there something else which is a little bit different than rape that he did? What else did he do?
Is there a separate category of Vayaneha?
Okay, that's rape, I would assume. Yeah, I don't know. Well, what else did he do, by the way?
Okay. Yeah, isn't Bnei Noach anything they do to be...
Well, let's see. Okay, so let's see the Rambam. Okay, so let's see the Rambam. Baruch, I'll get to your... We're going to get to what the people did. We have to get what did Shechem do wrong and what did the people do. So, like, in other words, our first approach is we're going to assume that their behavior was justified and that both Shechem and the inhabitants of the city committed a crime. And they both the crimes both have to be the death penalty. So look at the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes Halacha Yudalet. V'keitza mitzuvim heim aladinim, right? There are seven sins, right? Seven mitzvos, b'nei Noach, seven mitzvos, Noachite laws. So one of them is dinim. What are dinim? Chayavim lahoshiv dayanim v'shoftim choplach uplach ladun b'sheish mitzvot elu. You have to have institute judges, a judicial system, to judge the other six cases, the other six mitzvos. Ulahazir asam, and to warn the people. Uben Noach she'avar alachas b'sheva mitzvos elu yehard basayef. And a non-Jew who violates one of these mitzvos is killed by the sword. Because of this, the people of Shechem were doomed to be killed. They deserve the death penalty. Because Shechem stole, and they saw and they knew and they didn't judge him. So what? The capital crime was Gezel. Gezel is abduction. The Rambam says that Gezel is one of the Shechem Bnei Noach. So the crime was actually not the rape. The capital crime was actually the abduction. Okay? And the inhabitants, their violation was that Heim ra'u v'yadu v'lo danuhu. That they somehow, each one of them, had the responsibility to set up a judicial system. It's a bit of a chiddush, the Rambam. It's like, I wouldn't have said this necessarily, because you're assuming that every single male has to, they had the ability to hold Shechem accountable. Again, he was the king of the city, or he was the king's son, the prince. You know, it's very hard, you know, when you're just a regular inhabitant to basically, you know, imagine the king and the king's son does something, they do something. Now we're expecting that's just a regular citizen of the town is going to do something. But the Rambam says yes. So the Rambam understands that the very halachic, the children of Yaakov acting in a very halachic manner. The abduction was the capital crime. And in not prosecuting Shechem, the inhabitants violated the Noahide law to institute legal procedures, which is punishable by death. Okay? And again, it's a little tricky, you know? The Archaim, I think, is bothered by, which I think we, my inclination is, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't, you know, but my inclination is a little difficult to say that every single person of the city of Shechem had the ability to judge and they didn't judge him, maybe. So I think that's what leads the Orach Chaim to have a slightly different variation. He says, Orach Chaim HaKadosh gives a few reasons, but one of his reasons is, Sharu kol b'ne'ir, l'tzad sheba yu be'ezer Shechem, ligzol dida, u'b'nei noach b'chuyav misa l'gezel. So he says that they assisted, the inhabitants assisted Shechem in abducting Dina. Okay, so it wasn't a sin of omission, it was a sin of commission. And they are chayav misa on abduction, on theft. Aval harayos ein chiyuv ki dina lo haisa esh yasish. But for the forbidden relations, there was no, it's not the death penalty because Dina was not a married woman. So, okay, so the slight difference is to the inhabitants, why they were responsible, Orach Chaim HaKadosh. However, the Tosfos HaShalem, Tosafis also wrote a commentary on the Chumash. This is a Tosfos commentary. And he says, Makshim Ola Matir Tzu B'nei Yaakov Laviyam Kesha Omer Lahem Achartim Osi V'Heim Amu HaGazor Yasa. What kind of response did Yaakov's children give to Yaakov by saying, why do we do this? Well, are we going to make our sister into a harlot? So the Yesh Lomar, Derech Ha'iyun Mitchila Amar Yaakov, Im Asa Nevala Mabekach. So Yaakov said, if you're going to say that Shechem himself did a Nevala, he did something disgraceful, so what? Az Amrulo, Vadai Im Lo Shechav Etzla Kim Shechem Levado. Fine. If only Shechem would have slept with her, okay, fine. Nicha, Vakulam Shachfu Etzla, Sherotzu Lios Numalim, Zel Shemar Akasu Vashetimachosam. So apparently, Tosus assumes that there is some like gang rape or something, that they somehow all participate in the rape. So again, the number of Mefarshim are not comfortable, you know, either practically or halachically with the Rabbim's position that they deserve the death penalty because they didn't hold Shechem accountable. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Tosus both say that their sins were something else, acts of commission, either abduction or they were involved in the rape. Again, it's not clear from the text that that's the case. But they have to deal with the fact that, you know, how could the brothers have done this? How could Yaakov only be bothered by the fact that it's going to provide a practical danger, but he doesn't seem to be bothered by the immorality of it? So they're trying to search for a sin for the inhabitants, right? And the, right, so that's the... and then you have Haktava Kabbalah. So this could be this is Baruch's point. Haktava Kabbalah says Vitachen Shimon Velevi Lo Amru Sheyimolu Kol Bnei Ir. Shimon Levi, they didn't say that everyone should circumcise themselves. Kiim Lo Nuchalas Itzach Sin Elisha Lo Arla. They just said we don't want to give our sister to someone who was uncircumcised. Their goal initially, Shimon Levi, was only to kill Shechem. And once Shechem and Hamor agreed to them, so and originally they said only they will circumcise themselves. It's a lack of kavod. That only the Shechem and Hamor should circumcise themselves. L'chein pitu kol yotzei shariram, that they convince everyone. Because Sher noda l'shem and Levi should call on Sher ha'ir nimolu. Once Shimon and Levi heard that they would all be circumcised, v'sibatz hatratzotam lihimol ha'yakdei ligzol mamona. And why would they circumcise themselves? Because they said what miknehem? They want to steal the property of Shimon and Levi. Kamra miknehem achol kinyanam achol bemtam halo lanu heim. All their property, it's really ours. So that's found in the psukim. And so lachein he tiru Shimon and Levi latzam gankin lavus mamona. So different Shimon and Levi themselves allow themselves also to despoil them, to take their spoils. So and so the Ksava Kabbalah says, and that's why the Ramban's argument can be pushed aside, because after it was known, says the Ketav Kabbalah, Shenasnu b'neir einehem al-mamona. After it was clear, they overheard that the inhabitants were like, yeah, we'll circumcise ourselves, and then we'll join them, and then we'll just take all their property. Yadu vadai shim yivrchu yivakshu la'ashkam u'lahargam. So the children of Yaakov thought that basically, if they run away with Dina, you know, and there was after, if they just kill Shechem and Hamor and take Dina away, then they will, the inhabitants will go after them and oppress them and kill them, just like they took the sister. So basically, this is another reason to justify their behavior. The inhabitants' intentions were to rob Yaakov's family, so the brothers had no choice but to attack. Okay, so and then getting to sort of Dave's point about when Dave asks, well, why are they despoiling the city? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh addresses this, and he says, you know, another reason why they took the mammon, right? Asher timo dina chosam perish deme boshas, is because of it's payment for the embarrassment. Kilafi shir hamavayis hamispayish kim hadregos muflagos. It goes by who's embarrassed and who embarrassed. ulevai she yaspik kol chilam lid mei boshes bas Yaakov hamyuchad ba'olam ruv hamaylos mechomer hanivzad mod. So in other words, the fact that Dina was raped and their family were like the princely families. They were like, you know, very holy. They were very moral. And the fact that this is a tremendous disgrace, what happened to Dina. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh says all the money in the city was not, that was the best they can do in paying back for what they did to Dina. So that's how I deal with the spoils. So my point is, you have a whole school of Mefarshim who basically, I think the evidence is probably the fact that Yaakov's concern is not based on the morality of their actions, but only due to the fear that the deed would endanger his family when the surrounding nations retaliated. So they look for sins that both Shechem committed and that the inhabitants of the city committed. And the sin of Shechem was either the abduction or the rape, and the sin of the inhabitants was the fact they didn't prosecute them, that they didn't prosecute Shechem. They assisted in the abduction. They were involved in the rape. Or there was a concern that they would rob from Shimon and Levi, so this was a preemptive attack. Okay?
When the nation they see wipe out the whole city, they'll come after the whole business network. They didn't want the nations around it to get involved.
If they wouldn't kill the town, the people of the town, then when they kill Shechem and Hamor and take Dina out of the city, so they're afraid the townspeople will go after them. So I guess you're weighing the concern that the townspeople will go after them versus the concern of the neighboring cities to go after them. So I guess you're weighing those two factors. The second approach is that it was practically necessary.
Actually, no one came after them.
I understand. No.
You show strength.
So it's not clear. It's not clear whether that was right. They don't go after them, but it's not clear whether that was because, sort of in a sense, a miracle. Right. Look what it says in Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Hey. Vayisal and they travel. Vayhi Chitas Elokim Al Harim Asher Svivosehem. The fear of God fell upon the cities that are around of Lorodfu Achrei Bnei Yaakov. It sounds almost miraculous, the fear of God. Was the fear of God caused by their strength, or was the fear of God really a miracle, in which case the brothers made a calculation, or maybe they didn't make a calculation. But okay.
Maybe their calculation was that if they kill Shem, then his people would have a much greater willingness to go after them, whereas if the neighbors, they're not as invested as Shem's own people, so maybe that was the calculation.
That, Dave, that's what I was trying to say in response to Arthur, but you said it much better than me. No, you said that exactly. I agree with you. I think that was their calculation. I agree with you. You said it much better than me. A second approach is that their sins did not deserve punishment, but it was practically necessary. The Ralbag, for example, says, that Yaakov got angry with Shimon and Levi, right? V'amar lahem, achartim osi lasim sina b'ni v'mi yoshivar, you're going to cause hatred between me and the locals. V'hem ha'knani v'aprizim, umos g'los, they're large nations. V'anim b'simad, I'm very small, and they're going to destroy me. And what was their response? Him roi shi'as es shchem es achoseni k'zona shalu yeh ben noach neragala. Are we going to, leaving this act unavenged, that basically, like a zona, that we're not going to avenge this. If they just kill him, then right, all of them, all the locals are going to go after them. The yadam gamkin haisa b'mal, they're also involved. Shalomichu b'yadam ma'asos zeh poham guna, right, and they were sort of also involved, and. Or so this is really the second. I sort of said before that the Ksava Kabbalah was more focusing on that they were afraid they were going to kill them. I'm saying they were going to rob them. So You know, if someone's trying to rob you, so you have to deal with them. The Rabbag is just saying practically, right, they didn't deserve to die, but if they don't kill them, then it would be impossible to avenge Dina's death without killing them as well. I mean, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives another answer. He says that, I guess it's Baruch's point, Ki ad rabba yistaknu bein ha'umos kishiru that basically they're going to be more endangered. If someone disgraces, debases their sister, they don't do anything, then the neighbors will do whatever they want with them. If they show strength, then the other nations will not, you know, fight them. The other nations will be afraid of them. So again, there's one approach that we're focusing on the sins that Shechem committed or the inhabitants committed, but you could simply argue that unfortunately sometimes, you know, people have to die for the sake of deterrence. That's just they had to avenge the death of they had to avenge the rape of Dina, and they also have to be concerned about their own future. And if people think that Jewish blood is free, but they don't do anything, then it's not Jewish blood. Then they're putting themselves in a greater danger. So for a practical reason, they had to do this.
Why did Yaakov go into this? What was Yaakov's thing?
Again, Yaakov made the calculation. He thought practically that would put them in greater danger. So he may have disagreed. And by the way, Yaakov may have been correct if you understand that it was a miracle of Hashem that the other nations did not go after them, because you don't rely on miracles.
The question also, if they wanted to show strength, and what was the purpose of the deceit of having them all get circumcised then? And what you're saying is, sure, you defeated them because they were all sick. Where's the strength there?
So you don't know, like, you don't know exactly, you know, how information is filtered and how people hear about things. You can just say, you know, I heard they were massacred. They tricked in the massacre. Don't, you know, stay away from them because they're just dangerous because they do things and they'll find a way. So, I hear what you're saying, Dave. I don't know.
So they obviously didn't feel that they could do it without the deceit.
Correct. Well, they had to do it. They couldn't take out the whole city, just the two of them. This would be the easiest way. The Ramban is of the view that they were unjustified. Rabban said, "Avanyan Shchem, kibrei Yaakov b'avusha, hayu anshe Shchem rishayim v'damam chashiv l'am k'mayim ratzu l'nakem mehem b'cherem l'kamas." By Shchem, the children of Yaakov said that they were wicked people, and so their blood is like water, and so therefore they deserved death. V'hargu amelach v'chol anshe yiro ki avadav him. So they killed the king and all the people of the city. They were bad people. V'sarim el mashmato v'ena bris asher nimol nechsha b'nehem l'umuma. They didn't care about their treaty. That's worth nothing. The only reason why the inhabitants made this treaty is to flatter their masters. You brought me in danger. You put me in danger. And then Visham Orapam ki Asu Hamas Lanchair. But then you look in Parshas Vayechi, right? In other words, in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath, he seems to talk about the practical concerns. But at the end of his life, on his deathbed, then he says, "Oru apam." He curses them for their anger, which wasn't good. So in other words, maybe immediately he's not going to focus on the morality of their actions, but he does seem to have the last word and does criticize them for their behavior. And he in the end, the Ramban says that, you know, that they said, "Let's be an Am Echad," right? That the people said that we should be one nation, and they chose them. They said, "We'll unite with you," and they just kicked them. They just like didn't care about their words. Right? Maybe the people of Shechem would do tshuva and they would follow one God. And what happened? The children of Yaakov, v'hargo sam chinam, they killed them for nothing. Ki lo heiru lam klal, they didn't do anything bad to them. V'zel shamar klei chamas mecheruseyam. So Ramban says, Yaakov has the last words. It's very clear that he finds that their behavior was immoral. So the third approach is that the behavior was unjustified. The brothers view the inhabitants as wicked, people whose lives were worthless. The brothers saw no need to uphold their end of the covenant, since the people of Shechem had only agreed to it to flatter their king, but not because they believed in its terms. The deception was unjustified because maybe the people in heaven were sincere and would return to God. So you have three different approaches, either justified, practically necessary, or unjustified. So I want to finish with just the following one point, is that sometimes, whether it's justified or not, when sometimes you engage in bad behavior, even if it's justified or practically necessary, it can have an impact on your behavior. The Medrash tells us that in next week's Parsha, sorry, in Parsha Vayeshev, sorry, when the Yosef tells the brothers about his dreams and they're upset at him and they hate him, and then Yosef comes to see, and they see Yosef coming from a distance, Vayomer Ish al Achiv. So one person says to another, Shimon Omer, the Medrash in Seichel Tov says, Shimon Omer LeLevi Tchila, Shimon said to Levi first, Shehayu Achim Klei Hamas, because they are people of violence. So perhaps the message of this Medrash in Parsha Vayeshev is that, you know, first, Shimon and Levi want to kill people, perhaps for a justifiable reason. But we must never forget that it can have the impact on our character, and it can turn people into violent people, which leads them to want to kill Yosef when they simply disagree with him in Parshas Vayeshev. So in other words, questions how you deal with someone that you disagree with. So again, it may have been for a justifiable reason, but there's a failure of Shimon and Levi to distinguish between perhaps how Shechem and the inhabitants behaved and how Yosef behaved. And that's always the danger when you engage in destructive behavior, even for a legitimate reason.